But the fact that so many of us already have and still have aches and pains and colds and coughs, but we're thankful that you're here and look forward to our study tonight. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to live in the Garden of Eden? Sometimes when I go to a beautiful garden, something like the Dallas or Fort Worth gardens, I look around and I recognize that even all that beauty is not like it would have been in the Garden of Eden. And I look sometimes at a beautiful yard and it's tended and everything is trimmed and looks so good. And I just wonder how much Adam and Eve worked in the garden. They didn't have to really work. They tended the garden. And it must have been a beautiful place. We can only dream of that. We're never going to see it this side of heaven. And I think about the fact that had they not sinned, we might still be in the Garden of Eden. But then I would have sinned. So we can't look too much at Adam and Eve and complain too hard because we've always done the same thing they've done. But I like to think about the fact that when you look at that, they were so near God and yet they became so far. And I think that describes in a lot of ways things that we see all around us in our life. Some people that are so close to God in some ways and yet so far. Because they've never really understood the gospel of Christ. They've never really obeyed the gospel. And sometimes they know so much and yet they still remain so far away from God. I think of the people that drive up and down our street right here on the Mansfield Web Road. And I recognize that most of them, have no knowledge of what takes place in this building. I'm quite sure that some would not come here because it's not the kind of a building that people want to worship in. Had a woman in Sherman, Texas one time visit us one time and she said she wouldn't be back because she liked to have an arched ceiling when she worshiped God. Well, that'd be nice, I suppose. But she was close to the truth and didn't know it. And the people that drive up and down our streets are so near, and yet they're so far away. And you look at that and begin thinking about that, and all of a sudden there's so much in the Bible that addresses that very sort of thing. Ananias and Sapphira were members of the Church of Christ in the city of Jerusalem. They were able to hear the apostles preach. They were able to associate with other Christians. They had evidently some wealthy attributes of their life. And they think they were so near because they heard the apostles preach, they heard the truth taught, they participated in the work of the church, and yet their minds were so far away. They didn't understand that lying to the Holy Spirit could be so deadly. So they were in the church. They were members of the church. They were so near, and you think what a privilege it would have been to be in a congregation where the apostles were there, and the kind of preaching that they would be able to do, and the understanding and the fellowship that you'd get from being in a church like the one at Jerusalem. And yet, they never really understood what was there. And there's a number of things in the Bible like that. In Matthew 19, there's the rich young ruler. Pardon me. Oh, sorry. But when you have those kinds of things, and sometimes you have that wealth, and you put your trust in the wealth, and yet he was in the presence of Jesus Christ. He could have had all kinds of knowledge imparted to him. And so many things would have been open to him had he not been tied to his wealth. The idea of being in the presence of Jesus and hearing him teach, the idea of being so close to the truth and yet greed would interfere with his relationship to God. So again, you see a situation, someone was so near to the Son of God and yet they were so far because of their attitude toward money. Moses in Numbers chapter 20. You have to respect Moses, and we understand that Moses was a true man of God. And he was called by God to go down to Egypt and to let the people of Israel come out free. And through great tribulation, he did that. He stood up to the Pharaoh face to face. He challenged him. He believed he had God on his side, and he did. He had Aaron as his brother and spokesman for him. He did all that, and then he led the people of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years, and he struck the rock rather than speak to it. And the Lord said, you're not going to enter the promised land. Oh, no, you can look. You can look over the Jordan and you can see the promised land, but you're not going there. And you think, all of his labors, he was so near to the promised land, but he never went over. Now, I understand Matthew 17, he appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, but he was not allowed physically to go into the land of promise. And we look around, and I look at my family, and I know you look at your family, and some have heard the truth over and over and over. They've been in congregations that are full of good people. They've taken the Lord's Supper. They've engaged in songs. They've just had everything participating in the gospel of Christ as much as they could. And then they fall away. They're so near. Just so near. And yet, so far. And it's something that's in my mind all the time. I can't really do anything about it because of free will. People choose not to do what they ought to do. And yet when I know the truth is so plain, it is just so evident because people have Bibles. All you have to do is read the Bible. Many people, pardon me, many people have a lot of Bibles in their home. And sometimes even in a place of respect. But they never read it. And they walk by the Bible day after day, and they're so near, and yet they're so far away. It's ironic to think about it, and how bad it is that people don't understand how close they are to the truth. Jesus gave a number of parables. The one in Matthew 25 was about the foolish virgins. There were 10 wise, and 10 that were not. The 10 anticipated the coming of the bridegroom. They trimmed their lamps. They had fuel to let the lights burn. And the foolish virgins never did that. They didn't take thought about the bridegroom is coming. There's going to be something that we need to get ready for. And then when it all happened, they weren't ready. They were so near, and yet so far, they were not permitted into the wedding feast. And you think about people like that. And yes, I've known preachers that can preach a wonderful sermon. There's a man still living right here in Arlington who used to preach the gospel. The last time he preached the gospel, he preached on home and family and had his daughter restored. And it was found out that week that he had been living in adultery with some women. And how can it be that you stand in the pulpit and preach and teach the truth and don't live it? And you're so near to the right and yet so far away. I understand he's still living today and he's never darkened the door of a church building again. You think what a tragedy that is. Now, I've known of his history, and he's been in other places. I found out he had this same trouble in other places, but he taught people the truth. Some people will go to heaven because of this preacher's message of the past, but he won't. And you think, you know, we hear about Jesus saying that some will be beaten with many stripes and some with few. Out of that has come the idea that there's going to be degrees of punishment. I don't believe that. What I think is the truth about that is that someone like this preacher, when you come to the judgment day, and all these things are laid bare, and he remembers what I used to preach and how I used to teach people. Now I'm lost. Eternity will be more sore for him than somebody who never heard of the Church of Christ. Because he knows what he had and he gave it up. And it just boggles my mind. I knew of another preacher in Kentucky. He was having affairs with ladies in the church. And so he would go over to the board and he would draw a bird and then another bird and connect it like a book, and he was talking about the Bible. But when he was drawing the bird, he was saying to the women in the audience how much he loved them. And I don't understand how somebody can get in the pulpit and preach and teach the gospel of Christ and be so hypocritical and not even have a conscience worrying about it. I don't understand that. Yet I see it, and I recognize that there will be, I think, sorer punishment for those who knew the truth and gave it up. And what a tragedy that's going to be. I think of the Jewish nation. What a tragedy they've had in their life, in that their Messiah came and they didn't receive Him. And when He was there, and He worked His miracles, and He taught the truth, and He showed Himself to be the Son of God, the high priest, on the day that condemned Him to die, and others that saw Jesus in life. And as He said, these things were not done in the corner. They all knew what Jesus had done. Last week's bulletin, I thought it was rather unique in that a Roman historian had written about Jesus. He was not a believer, but he'd been in Jerusalem, and he said that he saw this man take a baby that was dead and make it alive again. How near he was to the truth. And yet he never acted on it. And I think so many times people are just so near the truth. If they'd read the next verse, if they'd read the next chapter, if they'd spend some time in the Bible, they could have eternal life. And yet they don't do that. Other examples in the Bible would be Felix. And without taking too much time, Agrippa. They heard Paul speak. Now, evidently, from what the Bible reveals about Paul, he was not an eloquent man. He wasn't like Apollos. But can you imagine what it would be like to have Paul in the congregation and preach and be in his presence and hear this man inspired of the Holy Spirit explain the plan of salvation? And a man would say, "Well, not now. A more convenient time." He was so close to the truth and didn't understand it. Oh, he believed the prophets. Paul acknowledged that he believed the prophets. He was so close to Messiah. And he still would not make that decision because of so much pressure from the government and other things. Well, there are many today that do the same thing. Matthew 25 talks about the end of the world and the fact that the majority of people are going to be lost, even though they've heard many times the gospel of Christ, and we all have the Bible, and if I'm lost, it's going to be my fault because I know what's there. And I'd rather that somebody shoot me in the head today than ever turn my back upon Jesus Christ. The thought of what I know, the dreams that I've had of going to heaven, the fellowship that we have among brethren, and what it's going to be like so much better in heaven. Being God's help, I don't believe I'll ever change my mind about that. It's one thing to be near, and another thing to stay near. And I never want to fall away. Just the idea of it scares me. And so people are so near and yet so far. We need to turn it around. We're so far from heaven, but we're really near. We're just a breath away from eternity. And we go through all the rituals of life and the struggles of life and the things that discourage us, but we never give up. Never give up, because what we have is just across the River Jordan. And I'm not going to be like Moses, the Lord being my helper. I'm not going to turn at the last minute and disobey Him. And heaven is not that far. It's good to think about. Put yourself in this same situation. What do you know? What are your dreams? What's your relationship to the Lord? And to think, it's ours. Jesus has paid for our sins. And now then, I can be just as near as the fellowship with God allows. In the kingdom of Christ, our sins are forgiven, and heaven is just around the corner. And I say this a lot, but I really mean it. Folks, let's go to heaven together. It's not that far. It's really not that far. We're very near. And when you see the mistakes of Agrippa and Felix and the rich man and Ananias and Sapphira and others, and you think they had it in their grasp and threw it away. And we're determined not to do that. I want to be just as close to heaven tomorrow as I am today. I want to be just as near to heaven when I draw my last breath. Don't you? My mother was a nurse's aide in the hospital at Lubbock, and she told me something I've never forgotten. There was a man there with cancer, and he was dying. The last words from his lips was cursing God for putting cancer on him. And he died. Never understanding it was Satan who was his enemy and not God. And so, let's don't make those mistakes. I know it's possible. I see it. I've known many brethren who've fallen away. Let's make up our mind. We're going to the promised land. I'm not going to stop at Mount Nebo. I'm not going to stop short of the goal. I want to cross Jordan. We sing about that all the time, but it's real. If you're present tonight and there's anything that stands between you and God, hope and pray with all of your heart that you'll hold on to the faith. As Terry taught in class this morning, we're justified by faith. With faith, we're very near. We're not far. And God will bring us into the promised land. If we can help you in any way reach that goal, we'd like to help you do that tonight. If you need prayer, we'd pray with you and for you that heaven can be your home. If you need to respond to the gospel of Christ, please do so while we stand together and while we sing.